From the beginning, going on pilgrimage has been a central part of our Catholic faith. That going and making a journey to a sacred, a holy site that the traditional pilgrimage places of Jerusalem, going to the actual places and touching the soil and the grass where Jesus walked, where he performed his miracles, seeing the Sea of Galilee, going to Rome, to the places where the first apostles, where Peter, Paul gave their lives, where blood was spilt and the church grew, to Assisi, the place of one of the great saints of history, Francis and Claire, both of them. That you go to these sacred places, and it's so very different from a vacation. A vacation, you go to a place to experience a different culture, to see the sights there, maybe to get some relaxation. A pilgrimage is something so much bigger than that. It's that and so much more. Because you go on a vacation for a change of place. You go see a different place. But when you go on pilgrimage, you're going not to just a different place. It's not just about a change of place. It's about a change of person. That it's meant to transform the person that you are through the actual encounter with these holy places and with these holy people. This summer, there'll be over 50 young people from Dickinson going on pilgrimage, on two different pilgrimages. In May, me and Colton are bringing 22 others through Blue Hawk Catholic, a Catholic student group at Dickinson State, on pilgrimage to Rome. In June, there are 30 high school students from Trinity who'll be going on pilgrimage to Rome as well. Father Grant Dvorak is bringing them along with Colton, and they'll be joining about 100 other Catholic students from around North Dakota on that great pilgrimage. But why? Why are we doing this? Is Colton Steiner's ideal summer day chasing after 30 17-year-olds around the hot streets of Rome? I don't think it is. I think he'd choose to do something else. But he's going. Why? Because pilgrimage changes people's lives. You look at Western North Dakota, our diocese here. One of the great blessings is so many young people, as well as adults, have had the opportunity to go on pilgrimage to holy places. If you look at the priests in the diocese ordained in the last 15 years, and even those who are seminarians now, you listen to their vocation stories. One of the things that always stands out is, yeah, we went on this pilgrimage to Rome when I was in high school. That's good to do. Or I went on this pilgrimage to Rome with my parish. It changes a person. Because our faith, our Catholic faith, it involves our mind, our intellect, but it's so much more than just that. It involves our heart, a matter of love for Christ. But it's actually so much more than that. It involves the whole person, not just our spirit and our soul, but our body as well. We're incarnate beings. We have bodies. So to go in the actual physical place where these saints were and where they are, one of the great graces that comes, especially from seeing the young people go to a place like Rome, is they experience in a very powerful way the universality of the church. that the Catholic faith, Catholic means universal, that it's so huge that someone who goes on pilgrimage, they experience their Catholic faith in a sense of, wow, this is so much bigger than me. Yet I'm a part of this. I'm united to this. That the Catholic faith is one which encompasses all of space and all of time. It's, yes, it encompasses the whole globe. That there are Catholics from every corner of the world. But it's that the church is much bigger than even that. That the church and the faith is one in which all the saints, all throughout history, that they're a part of this church. That they're a part of this, they share, and I'm united with them in this faith. Everyone from Peter and Paul to Francis, Claire, Catherine of Siena, Maria Goretti, all throughout time, all throughout space, that this is the Catholic faith. It's so much more than just me. Yet I'm united to that. One of the especially poignant times on pilgrimage is when you're able to have Mass at some of these most sacred sites upon the tomb of St. Francis, close to the tomb of Peter and Paul. And of course, it's something that happens at every Mass, but there's something about it where it's so poignant when you're there at the very place where these saints are. Is during certain parts of the Mass, we join our voices with the voices of all the angels and all the saints in heaven. And at those points in the Mass, in those places where you sing the Sanctus, you see those words, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, where you sing those parts of the Mass, it's this encounter with not just the church united here on earth, but the church in heaven. Because if you take just even that one, the Sanctus prayer, at that moment in Mass, what is happening? That eternity is coming and breaking into time. That we're entering in those words, this song of praise that the angels and all the saints throughout all of eternity are singing in praise to God, that we're entering into that, and it's breaking into our time. It's like, I want to use an analogy maybe you can relate to really well. If you're going to a big wedding reception, right, and you hear it, and the dance is already going on, you can hear the music from a ways off, and as you're getting closer, you hear it getting louder and louder, and then you open the doors, and boosh! The whole of it hits you. The smell of Bush Light, rum and cokes, gin tonics, and the music just blasting. And it's a physical encounter with that. As we sing the Mass parts, we're entering in to the celebration of heaven. We're entering into that. And it's with our senses, our human incarnate senses, with our voices, our ears, even the high feasts, with the smell of incense, with the lights, the candles. And especially poignant on pilgrimage and experiencing how great and big the church is when you're there. We sing on pilgrimage, both the high school and the college ones, these Mass parts in Latin, this universal language of the church. And one of the reasons that we do this is because it strikes in a particular way for the young people how much bigger what they're entering into is than them. And also on pilgrimage, your Masses, it's fascinating because not everybody goes in a large group. You'll have a couple people from Korea, one from Argentina, one from Spain, two people from Uganda will join in on your Mass. And they don't understand a word of the readings or of what's being preached in the homily. But during the Mass parts, they understand the universal language of the church. And when they're sung in Latin, they join in with them. And you experience the church on earth united in this way, horizontally, as well as that vertical union with the church in heaven. And how much bigger the church is than us. Yet I'm a part of this and I'm connected to it. It's powerful. All of Lent is a spiritual pilgrimage. It's one that begins, as we hear in the gospel today, in the desert. And it ends in the garden. Which is, did you notice? Did you notice it? It's the exact opposite. It's the inverse of the fall. Adam and Eve, where did they begin? They began in the garden. The garden, which is this place of life. This place of union, an intimate union with God. And where does it end? They're about to get thrown out of the garden into the desert. Jesus, he undoes this fall. He undoes sin. We begin in the desert. And we enter into those places of desert in our lives with Christ so that he can bring us to the garden. It begins in the desert and it ends in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Garden of the Resurrection. And what's at the center of this? If you look at these prayer cards, which have the Latin Mass response, look at the little image at the bottom. Can you see it? It has the Kyrio, the P and the X, right? And then you see on one side the A, and on the other side, sort of mushroom-looking thing, an Omega, Alpha Omega. And then we see it in the church as well, the Alpha, the Omega. And what's at the center of it? Christ. What's at the center of all of history after the fall, from the beginning to the end, was a tree. And the choice that was made in that tree of disobedience and distrust of God. When Jesus transforms that, through his passion, death, and resurrection, a tree again is at the center of it. And it's the tree of the cross, which brings us from the desert into the garden, back into paradise. All of Lent is this spiritual pilgrimage. And we enter into it, all of it, with Jesus. We're not just recalling it in our minds, we're not just recalling it in our hearts, but we enter into it fully with our whole being. And we face with Jesus the temptations in there. Evil is also bigger than you. It's bigger than you. You cannot face the temptations and the struggle with evil on your own. But God and his church, they're bigger than evil. And that's why how we defeat evil is by being united to Jesus Christ, who unites us through the cross with his Father. And so we enter into this 40 days of spiritual pilgrimage. And you may not even leave Dickinson during this whole time, but it doesn't matter. Because if you're united with Christ, he will take you on this pilgrimage from the desert back into the garden of paradise with his Father. Because it's a transformation, not simply of place, but it's a transformation of person.